Hey, everybody. Today, we're talking about what is practice ownership about. You might have a good associateship and you might wonder, should I open a practice? We're going to talk about what you should expect, how to know if you are the right person for practice ownership, and is there a level of in-between that's not quite associateship and not quite practice ownership? We're going to talk about all those things today. You are listening to the Dental Practice Heroes podcast, where we create dental practices that are ran and driven by the team, affording us the freedom to practice less, stress less, and make more money. Hi, I'm Paul Etchison, author of two books on dental practice management, dental coach, and owner of a $6 million group practice in the south suburbs of Chicago. I want to teach you how to create a team-driven practice and achieve early financial freedom so you can have more time to do whatever it is that you love. Let's get started. All right, today we're talking about, I got a really good associateship. I'm making $300 to $400K a year. But should I open my practice? Justin, what do you think? Is it worth it? Is your associateship too good? Is there such a thing as associateship that is so good that you cannot leave? What do you think?
I absolutely think that's the case for some people. I think it starts with, why do you want to own your own business in the first place, right? And I think the way you, before you even answer that question, you start thinking about, what do I want my day-to-day life to look like? Like Monday through Sunday, what do I want that to look like? Because as an associate, if you're working with somebody who understands how to run a great business, and if you're making 350K plus, that's highly likely the case. They're knocking the new patient flow out of the park. They got good systems in place to help with treatment conversion and collections and these sorts of things. They're running a good business. Working with a good business owner is oftentimes the most peaceful way to make a great income, because all you're doing is delivering the dentistry and dealing with the clinical aspect, and then you go home. It's not your business. You have no debt. You don't have to deal with the overhead. You don't have to deal with any HR issues. As soon as you become a business owner, you can argue that you'll have team members to deal with it, et cetera. But at the end of the day, you inherit all of the liability associated with that. And for some people, that's great because that's just how they're wired and that's what they want, right? They want to layer all that on. And others do not. Why would someone want to leave a position where they're making great money, they don't have much responsibility other than the clinical treatment that they do, and they probably work 4 days a week, right? That's a great schedule, right? You can do that likely indefinitely and save some money along the way and invest, and you'll be good. Well, the first reason why someone would want to do that is because they say, that's just not enough. I want to make more than that. Okay, fair. Well, then is there a way for you to do that within this organization that you're in, right? And the fastest path to that is, are you doing other adjunct treatments? Like, are you doing orthodontics? Are you doing, you can expand and, you know, even potentially have that business owner invest in you along the way. If you're putting a 3-year contract together, I'm sure you could probably get a very savvy business owner to invest and help you out with some of the CE and maybe even offer you some more mentorship, because at the end of the day, they benefit from that sweat equity that you're putting in. They benefit from this piece, as do you, right? If you want to make more, most business owners in the beginning, particularly if it's the first time and it's your first rodeo, I don't see them make a lot more the first year, two,
yeah,
or
that's
three.
What I was
They're working
say.
A lot more, but I don't see them make a lot more. So you have to be willing to play the long game. You're probably going to take home less for a while, whether it's an acquisition or a startup. You're probably going to take home less and be working a lot more and figuring out on the weekends how you're going to run this business. And you're worrying at the dinner table about whether you're going to see your hygienist there on Monday morning or whatever else that may be. So I would do it, and I would boil it down to something simple. You either want to run a business and you want that because you know that now, technically, there's this idea of the sky is the limit potential. You're your own boss. It's your business. You've created it. It's your baby. And you've developed a lot of good skills along the way as well, right? If you don't do it and you're not playing the game, you're not going to get very good at playing that game. And they are transferable skills. So you can make pivots in life. If it's not a simple answer for you, like, no, I want my own business, and you can't come up with like a one-line statement of why, I just stick around and just keep making good money, because you're about to introduce a lot of stress into your life that you really don't need. For me, it's a simple answer. That number could have been $750,000 a year. It could have been $1 million a year I'm making as an associate. And I would say, yeah, I'm going to go open my own business.
Yes, me too.
Right. It was really a personality thing. I would say half the people will probably go open their own business and the other half will stay there and they'll be just fine. But the fact that you're asking the question you're probably getting that itch. Well, to
the thing is like, I think about when I was an associate, and I think a lot of people will relate to this story. I had one practice I worked at. I was one of four dentists, and it was like, I was producing really well there. It wasn't the best fee schedules. A lot of it was state aid and HMO and stuff like that. But then I had this other practice where I was the only dentist there. And to me, that one felt like, well, I was running it anyway. And I think a lot of people that are working as associates, they're like, well, I could do the same amount of work and make way more money. Why wouldn't I do it? And I want to say, oh man, was I wrong? There was a lot more to it than just showing up and doing the dentistry. So I think there's an opportunity for, you're going to trade something for something. You're going to trade clinical time for managerial time. And I think what most dentists make a mistake is they don't trade that time. And I think they have a lot of issues with personnel because they're not devoting the time that's necessary to running the business. But you're going to have a trade-off. And I think there's also, we should be thinking about, there's a middle ground there that, like for me, for instance, for me as a business owner, I would happily sell small pieces of equity to an associate dentist that wants to stay long-term, make more money, put some money into the game so that I have that security that they're not going to leave, but also not expect them to do anything additional partnership-wise. And I think a lot of associates are like, well, it's either 50-50 or I'm gone. And for 50-50, I would never want to have a 50-50 partner. I want to be the captain of my own ship. But I will happily 5, 10%, stuff like that. I'm happy to do that if they want to make more money and continue to be an associate. If the goal is more income, if you want way more income and you want maybe to back off clinically, then you need to own a little bit larger piece of that. Because as a small equity owner, you can't really back off too much clinically because you're still there as a producer. But the point I want to stress is that I think we all look at this and it reminds me of the E-Myth when she's making pies or something like that. She's like, well, I can make pies. I'll open my own bakery. I know how to make a great pie. That doesn't mean you know how to run a great bakery. It's different skills. Did you have an experience like that, Justin, when you were an associate? I mean, I look back at me and my associates when they upset me about stuff. I like have to remind myself, dude, that was you as an associate. You were a horrible associate. I was a horrible associate.
I would say I was the associate that everybody would really have wanted, like because I was continually investing in CE. I didn't ask them for any of that. I was working 5, 6 days a week, 10-hour shifts or more. I'd take any extra shift that they had because I wanted to get as much experience as possible. I treated that team like I was the business owner. I helped create a great culture there by just bringing together relationships. I'd have a new idea for the owner every week on how we can, like I treated it like it was my own business. So I did that for about 6 months after dental school. And I was like, okay, I got to go buy a practice. So I bought my first practice while I was still an associate, bought my second practice while I was still an associate, got my third practice while I was still an associate. And I was like running these businesses while I was working over here, creating an income for myself because I didn't want to see that. From that perspective, each of those, I was working at two clinics as an associate. That was my only two associate business. And they offered me partnerships, each of them. They're like, well, duh, right? Like, why wouldn't we? I mean, the guy shows up, he's making us a killing and he wants to take all this ownership responsibility. So let's give him a piece. So that to me would work for a ton of people. It just wouldn't work for me because I'm not a good number two. I don't do well as a number two. I don't know how to behave as a number two. I have to come in and I just got to start like, okay, I'm going to be the driver.
And that's why I think I was a bad associate. When I say I was a bad associate, it was because I wanted to do things my way. I was a great associate for the practice owner, but I just wasn't, it was like, I wanted to be an owner.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. In that case, yes. When you phrase the question that way, yeah, then I would have, from their perspective, I'd be a terrible associate because although I'm earning them income, I've always got one foot out the door, right? Looking for my own opportunities. And so, yeah, from that perspective, there was no long-term retention. There's a dentist. This guy would not offer a piece of his business to anybody. Good dude. Love him for the mentorship he offered me. Super productive. Always doing 150K plus a month in productivity. I come on. I eventually catch up to him as close as I could get with the skills that I had. And I was told before doing this opportunity that this is going to be generally a dead end for you because this guy's never going to give up like even a pinky nail's width of equity in this business. And one day they wrote me a check. They wrote me a check for $7,500 more than I was owed that month.
On purpose?
It was about a year. No, but it was a mistake that the accountant made. He had a bookkeeper that would come in so to do that work.
Bonus.
She had been working. And I went to her and she comes in and I go, I just want to talk to you about my paycheck and how things were calculated. She rolls her eyes immediately. She's like, oh, geez, like she's so meticulous. And she thought, and I was like, well, I just wanted you to have a look because it looks like I was overpaid by like $7,500 or $7,800. And she's like shaking her head like, no chance. She looks, she's like, oh, you're right, my mistake. And then she corrects it. I didn't even tell the owner. She went and told the owner. He pulls me into the office 3 days later. He's like, did you just return like $7,000 that wasn't owed to you? I'm like, yeah, it wasn't mine. And then literally within a week of that, he comes to me and says, hey, do you want to buy a portion of this business?
Wow. Right?
Like he offers me 25. We negotiated up to 45%. At the time, although that was attractive, I refused because I was able to go and I already had my sights on others. I start buying more offices at that time anyway, and I'd already owned other practices. And you know my journey after that. I start buying and opening. I wanted that multi-practice journey. And so I said no, but I think if you are a high integrity person, if you're a very productive, you can get somebody to give you some equity in their business and live happily ever after. That's like going back to what you said, that's not a bad idea actually to just do that. I think way more folks should do that than open their own practice because they ruin their life, man. I'll say the majority of coaching clients that I work with and I love doing this because it helps them. There's a lot of emotional and psychological support taking place. And the ones that need the most are oftentimes the ones that just should have never bought a practice in the first place. They should have just got really skilled and went out and worked for somebody else. But they didn't because there was this like ego play or they wanted to compete with their friends because all their buddies had practices. And so they decided to. But man, I would just encourage you to do this. Sit down and ask yourself what you want. Just live a life that's authentic to you, right? You don't have to keep up with everyone else. Who cares if everyone else has a practice that's in your circle? Ask yourself if you want to make those sacrifices. What do you want your day-to-day life to look like, right? And go from there because that's what's going to matter the most. And the answers will emerge if you're really being honest with yourself and not lying to yourself and living a life that's unauthentic. If you're truthful, you'll be good.
What would you call like a minority, like ownership, like small piece associate? Like, I feel like we should term this something.
I call it a junior partnership.
Junior partnership. I love it.
Yeah.
I was thinking like a play on words, like associate to owner or something like that.
Yeah. Owner. Yeah. I just call it a junior partnership. And we've had a lot of docs over the years who just wanted 5 or 10%. That's all the risk they want to take. And then to avoid the whole bank thing and dealing with that, we just lent them the money internally. We just did an owner finance loan at the same rates as the banks would do. And we even gave them the option that they could walk away anytime. And we'll just take the shares. See,
it's
back.
Interesting because like I feel like nobody really talks about this model. It's either like I'm going to own, I'm going to be 50-50, or that's it, I'm going to be an associate. Like there's no in between.
Yeah.
And I think you're right that you're saying there's a lot of people that go into full on 100% practice ownership that really should, this would be a much better model for them. They could start running through things through the business. I mean, they can get the benefits of being owners. I love this. Let me ask you this. I'll ask the question. I'll tell you what I think, but I'm just curious what you think about this as well. What is a good indication that somebody is not going to make the best owner? And for me, I would say, what is your comfort level? I would say, what is your comfort level having difficult conversations? That's what I would say it was. And then I would almost say, gosh, I don't even know. I'm kind of curious to hear what you would say. Like, what is an indication to someone like, you know what, maybe I'm better off as an associate. Wait, you know what a better answer might be? How much of this interpersonal, how much of this non-clinical stuff do I want to do? Do I just want to show up and do dentistry and go home? Because that's what a junior partnership or an associateship looks like.
Yeah, everyone that thinks they want to own thinks that they are willing to do the work because all their friends are doing the work and everyone else out there is doing the work. But you don't know till you get into the work and start doing the work. The best way to find out is you're in an associate position, you're earning $300K or $400K. Talk to the owner and say, you know what? I'm considering opening my own practice, but I see the value of being here because I'm making great money and I don't have to manage the business. I want to propose to you this idea of me continuing to do this potentially indefinitely, or us working out something where I buy a small portion of it as a junior level partner with you, right? But before I do that and I decide if that's the right, can I get involved in the business with you? Can I work with you? I'm never going to be your competitor. I'm highly likely going to be your partner. And I'm willing to stay out of the way if that's what you want, but that's something that would help me make that decision long-term. Like if someone came to me and said that, I'm not fearful that I'm teaching them. I'm like, hell yeah, like come, right? Like come learn, I'll show you. Do as much as you want, take over a lot of the responsibilities. It's not going to take you more than 90 days to realize whether or not you want to do this or not.
Yeah, true.
You're going to start having now management meetings. You're going to be responsible for doing some of the things the owner was doing. Here, take it. What are they going to screw up in 90 days? Nothing. But what they'll find out really fast is like, holy crap, I'm spending most of my spare time that I used to value so much doing this stuff
and thinking
I'm
about
spending
it.
Worry and thinking about it, right? And so the short answer to your question is, if you are a lifestyle oriented person, okay, like that's like the most valuable thing to you is lifestyle, meaning I want to have my own schedule, run my own schedule, and I want to golf 3 days a week, and I want my weekends off, and I don't want to be answering calls. That's not how it's going to start off as a business owner, dude. That's just not going to happen. So if you're very lifestyle oriented versus, let's say, achievement oriented to some extent, I would say you probably don't want to open up a business. You're probably better off just getting a piece. And then the second piece is, like, when I say you're number one and you're number two, right? Like, are you fine being a number two? Meaning, like, you don't have to be the person in the driver's seat as long as you're making a great living. That is how a C-suite forms. Not everyone's going to be the CEO, right? But they got their CFO, their CIO, their COOs, and they all make a killing. They all make a killing because they're fine being a number two. Those guys don't go out, those ladies don't go out and start their own businesses. They just scale within one, right? They get a piece and they let the owner take all the risk. They let the owner stress about all that stuff. They just do their piece, clock in, clock out, and they're done. I would suggest starting that route. And for most people, you'll probably be way better off in the long term. Because if you look at stats, even, I'll finish with this. Most people who become dental practice owners, they're not making a heck of a lot more through the profit of their practice. They're not. Because they don't know how to generate that in the beginning. And then when they do start generating it, it takes time to really ramp up. And now they're managing a bunch of other associate docs and turnover and filling in their time. So you better be committed for the long term. Otherwise, I wouldn't make the jump. I would, unless you have that burning desire like you and I talked about, right? Like we said, if it's a simple answer like, heck yeah, I want my own practice and I want to maybe do two or three of these things, you got to go scratch that itch. I'd suggest you do it. Right? But if you don't have that burning desire, then just make a great living and live the lifestyle you want. You're good to go.
All great information. Check out dentalbusinessmentor.com, $179 a month for monthly videos and all sorts of stuff. Thank you for listening. Were you one of the lucky dentists that got a tax surprise this year? Nothing like thinking that you have more money only to get that wiped away by a tax return. Or are you wondering why you are driving blind all year long, not knowing what your expenses are, what they should be, or how they compare to other dentists just like you? Enter Bull Moose Financial, a full-service accounting firm to handle your payroll, bookkeeping, tax compliance, tax returns and filings, as well as tax planning. And by tax planning, I mean knowing what you're going to owe well before the year is even over. I'm Paul Etchison, and I endorse working with Bull Moose. They were my CPA for many years, and if you want a responsive dental-specific CPA that will free you up from the burden of bookkeeping, payroll, and be attentive to your special needs as a dental practice owner, go to bullmoosefinancial.com. That's Bull, B-U-L-L, moosefinancial.com. Mention the Dental Practice Heroes podcast, and they will waive your $2,000 onboarding fee. So sign yourself up, and rest assured you know your CPA is doing all they can do to help and support your dental practice.